Blog Talk Radio.
Who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are? Who did you see, I wonder, that made you just the cutest little angel by far? Where did you get those good looks, those eyes that glow like a star? It seemed they made the sun shine only twice in your sweet smile and paradise. Tell me, won't you, darling, who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are?
Who do you know in heaven
that made you the angel you are?
Who do you see, I wonder,
that made you just the cutest little angel by far?
Where did you get those good
looks, those eyes that glow like a star? It seems they made the sun shine only twice in your sweet smile and paradise. Tell me, won't you, darling, who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are?
Tell me, won't you, darling, who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are?
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. My fellow Americans, we're in trouble. We lost our country. You think this missing plane is a problem? We got a missing country. This is not the country that our forefathers created for us, that my grandfather and the father left out for me to take care of. Yes, we're in trouble. We're living beyond our means, beyond our wildest dreams. We're into the devil's work here in this country. Hollywood is really Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, I saw my neighbor next door. He was building an ark. He came over. He wanted to know how many feet in a cubit. Oh, man, are we in trouble. We are really in trouble. I mean, you got Putin. Putin's liable to come over here and bitch slap the president. Poor Ukrainians, Russia just walked right in there. Yeah, you know what the excuse was? There's a lot of Russians there, and we have to protect them. Well, that means New York is next. Yeah. And I could see Obama saying, listen, we'll draw the line at the Hudson River. You better not cross into Brooklyn, Putin, because we'll play the race card on you. Oh, man. You want to play the race card on the Russians? The only black Russian is a drink. Yeah, it's the drink that's named after Obama, the black Russian. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I was fortunate enough to have my eyes opened last night. A friend of mine called me up. He says, Tom, you got to get the Glenn Beck's The Blaze tonight at 8 o'clock, and they're going to do Russia, and they're going to do the Ukrainians, and by 8:30, they're going to do the Soviet Empire. So I said, what am I going to do? So I signed up for $10 a month, and I joined the Blaze. And, of course, I got registered right away with NSA and the IRS. Yeah, oh, man. You know what? I called for, if you know, when we all finally realize that the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party, and the Rhinos are now the Democrat Party, I said, it'll be too late for revolution. We'll be outgunned, even though we have a lot of guns. We'll be outgunned, and we'll be like those poor Ukrainians that are being pushed around by thugs. And I said to myself, that's what the communists want. They want us to stand up because they know they have to kill 20 to 25% of the population to control the rest, the weak ones. So they'll do what they did to the Poles in the Katyn Forest. They took 40,000 Polish officers, marched them into the forest, and killed them all there. Yep. And that's what I was seeing on Glenn Beck last night. All of the atrocities of the Soviets, our allies in World War II. You know why they were our allies in World War II? Because we allowed them to take over poor little helpless countries like the Ukraine. And they got everything they wanted. When you sit down and negotiate, first off, we have no negotiators. Look at John Kerry. I mean, he couldn't negotiate a bottle of ketchup. We have no intelligence, and we do not have the ability to negotiate. When the Russians come to the table, they come with nothing. They leave with half of whatever you had, and that's what Putin has done. He's left with half of whatever the Ukrainians had. And now they say he's looking at Estonia or Latvia. I got my eye on you. And I see Hitler all over again. I seen Putin giving a speech, and he was getting worked up, and it was just like the Fuhrer. Deutschland today, Deutschland tomorrow, Deutschland forever. And Putin said, all glory for Russia. And the crowd went wild. And this is my last territory of demand. He hasn't said that yet, but get ready. So I get nervous. I get real nervous. So I'm watching Glenn Beck, and I learned a couple of things I never knew, okay? And I'm a history buff. I do try to learn the lessons of history. I did not know that when Hitler went to Poland, because he had a deal with Stalin, that the Russians went in from the other side. And they split Poland between them. I didn't know that. I thought that Hitler took all of Poland, and then when Hitler was losing and retreating back to Germany, that the Russians came in and told the Poles to rise up and that they would be right in to help them. And then when the Poles rose up, the Russians watched the Germans and kill their enemy. Right, and then they went in and killed whoever was left. Very clever, these Russians, man, and they're very heartless. And the other thing I didn't realize, after I learned about the murder of 10 million Ukrainians by Stalin, okay, and I saw one woman saying that the people were starved to death, and one woman, the Russians would come in and throw them on the body wagons to take them to the pits, to bury them, and the woman says, I'm not dead, and the guy says, we can't come back tomorrow, and they threw her on the pile. And the woman said that when they got finished, when the Russians got finished throwing the Ukrainians into a mass grave, that the ground trembled because people were still alive. You think about that. And the shocker that I got last night was, when the Russians liberated the German concentration camps for annihilation of all enemies of the German state, that the Russians reused them for their enemies. They didn't burn them to the ground or close them out. They reused them. How's that? And we're going to do a missile agreement with the Russians? You got to be kidding, man. And when you tell President Putin that you let him know that after my reinfection, in the United States that I will be more flexible. What do you want now? I'm reinfected. What do you want? Do you want Syria? You got it. What, you want Iran? You got it. You want Saudi Arabia? No, they gave me a gold medal. I can't give them up this week. You want Lebanon? You got it. You want Iraq? Oh, we're out of there. You can have anything you want there. You want Afghanistan? You got to give me a little time. We'll be out of there very soon. Oh, by the way, nobody knows that 2,300 Americans died in Afghanistan under me. Even though Bush lost a 461 in 8 years, I've gotten rid of 2,300 Americans under me. But we don't call them Americans anymore. They'll be lucky when I get finished if they have a flag and a cross. Yeah, you know what I do? I call them NATO troops. And then we put it in our communist newspapers, and they say 27 NATO troops have died today to be identified later. And then we ship them back home under the cover of darkness, and nobody pays any attention. It's not like when they used to run it, the body count and names every night on TV when the Republicans were in charge. Yeah, unbelievable, man. We got a loser for a president, and he's going to lose a country. And we're going to be like that Malaysian jetliner. So now that I've told you that, let me rekindle your spirits, and we'll sing a tune together. And the name of the tune is We All Gotta Unite Because the Communists Have Divided Us. Stick your ideology wherever you want. But now the time has come. We got a big family problem, and the family has to stick together. We've got to face the Russians. The Cold War is back, and they are sneakier than ever. So we'll play A Nation once again. I was speaking to Jimmy from Brooklyn. He is recommending two books, and he thinks that Hannity, Limbaugh, and Mark Levin should read them. The Perestroika Deception and New Lies for Old. And it's by a guy named Anatoly Golitsyn, who was the highest-ranking defecting Soviet officer to come to the United States and warned us before the Berlin Wall came down that there was a losing, a deception that was going to create the illusion that the communist, international communism was defeated. And as you can see, they're all over the place. And the Russians are now building, Chinese are building bases in Pakistan. The Russians are building bases in Nicaragua. Of course, they're going back into Cuba again. They're in Venezuela. The Iranians are in Venezuela. So we're going to have a lot of wolves at the door. Did you ever see the movie Gray with Liam Neeson, where the wolves wait and pick off the weakest? All you see are the wolves are like very dark, and the night all you see are their eyes, and there's lots of them. And one by one, they knock off survivors of an airplane crash. It is very troubling and very disturbing. And so I'm giving you a tune tonight by Irish people who lost their country. In 1798, they rose up against the British under the banner of United Irishmen. Both Catholic and Protestant, all Irish, stood up against the British. And when the British got finished, they were slaves from 1798 until 1916. And their song is one of unity, and that's what we got to do. We got to put all our little differences aside, and we got to unite for one United States. And if you look at the industrial capability of this country, we are ragged. World War II, We built more rifles in one day than Japan built in a year. We were making, in one Brooklyn Navy Yard, we were putting out 3 ships a week. We can't do nothing now. What are we going to do? We're all going to rally around Google and Twitter. Can Twitter make a tank? Can Google make a tank? We're in trouble. We got to get our industry back. And the best way to start getting our industry back is to close the EPA. Close it. Make it a library with one book. Instead of Ireland, it's our land.
When boyhood's fire was in my blood, I read of ancient free men, of Greece and Rome who bravely stood, 300 men and free men. And then I prayed I yet might see our fetters rent in twain. Shine that solemn starlight. It seemed to watch above my head through foreign field and fane. Its angel voice sang round my bed. A nation once again. A nation once again. A nation once again. And Ireland.
Until now, we've been watching skirmishes and the flare-ups throughout the world. And you got Hutus are killing Tutsis, and Clinton couldn't call it genocide till it went over 1 million. It was at 800,000 when he made that rule up. We're in trouble. We're kick the can down the road, the nation, and because of it, we're going to pay a horrible price. I honestly believe the next war is nuclear. There's too many nukes out there, and they're falling into the wrong hands, or new hands are taking over where sensible hands used to be in control of the nuclear facilities. We cannot allow this president, under the penalty of impeachment, to reduce our nuclear stockpile. Rather, we should be increasing it. And we should be mastering the technology that keeps us ahead of our enemies. He who rules the air rules the world. He who rules outer space rules the world. And right now we're hitching rides with the Russians. The Communist Party has destroyed our space program. The Communist Party has destroyed our industrial base. The Communist Party has destroyed the minds of millions of children. the Communist Party has destroyed the bodies of millions of children with abortion. When abortion becomes a political issue, man, you know we've turned savage. We're animals. A judge in Arkansas just struck down a law that said once a heart is beating, the child cannot be killed. And the judge says, nope, you can kill that child. The judge's name is Susan Weber. She was appointed by GW, the Compassionate Conservative. And it's terrible, man. It is terrible. And because of that, 4,700 babies will be drawn and quartered tomorrow in Democrat chop shops throughout the country. And no one speaks for the dead. No one. No one speaks for them. But we kill in 30 days as many, we kill babies only in 30 days as many Syrians that Bashar al-Assad has killed in 3 years. We kill 4,700 American babies a day. Planned Parenthood alone kills 3,000. They kill 1,200 white babies every day. They kill 1,100 black babies every day. They kill 700 Latino and Ninos every day. Every day. I don't know if they're open on Sundays. But is it like the smokestack of Birkenau? No, working overtime? They had a raid down in Texas. It's on the news tonight. And there's illegal aliens. They're in a two-bedroom house. There's 110 brought out. Some as young as 5 years old. Boys and girls, men and women. And they're all being smuggled here to become slaves. And you know that the girls are all being sold into prostitution. The helpless is always raped. Don't let it happen to you. And the best way you can do that is elect a president who is a general. Because the next war is nuclear, and we're going to need some fast and hard commanders that can decide things in 5 minutes, not to give Osama bin Laden 4 months to get away before you finally kill him. We're not going to have the luxury of 4 minutes in the next war. So I picked Stan the Man, Stanley McChrystal, because I know that he's not a friend of Obama anymore. Yeah, so he won't be cuddling up to any sponsors. He's pretty much his own man. So I'll tell you why I picked him. One, because he can make split-second command decisions. He has a religious family background, and I like to see more flags and crosses being raised across the land. Instead of being on the run by the atheists, let's put them back on the run. I want to see a giant cross across the street from ACLU headquarters. Religious family background. He was the commander of all troops in Afghanistan. He's loyal to the oath to defend the Constitution. He has leadership, experience, intelligence. He eats one meal a day. He runs 7 miles a day. He has international experience in building alliances. He's a real American, and you can see his papers anytime you want. You don't have to ask that the safe at Harvard be opened. And boy, with all of the people that are blowing the whistle on this country, we can't get one mole to go get Obama's records? Are you kidding me? He's a real American. He comes from a generation of service. He only has had one wife, so he keeps that oath, too. Do you know President Pinocchio Pants doesn't believe in keeping oaths? No, he's a draft dodger. Did you know that? We elected a draft dodger. How did we do that? We got free pot. Somebody gave me free pot, and I went into the voting booth. Yeah. He got shafted and possibly set up by the communist McChrystal. Shakes hands with privates. That's what sold me. I saw him come out of a meeting and a private snapped to and saluted him, and he stuck his hand out like he was his father. How you doing, kid? That's a man. That's a real general. And he knows the situation in depth. He does not lead from behind. He may bring back the draft and de-wuss the country if we have time. See, once our enemies know we can be taken, they're coming. But if they got doubts, they will bide their time. And if we have time, we can get stronger. And that's what we have to do. We have to make believe we are now the underdog, and we have to come back. We have to make believe we are back in Sputnik at time, and now we have to regain the space edge, and we have to do it. And these corporations got to stop paying and playing political. Stick to making the product and stay out of politics, even though I know you're being threatened by the IRS under the Obama administration. I remember Bill Gates stayed away from politics, and he did not spend much champagne money. And one day, Bill Clinton sicked the IRS on him, and all of a sudden he was facing fines. And so what did he do? He made a big donation to the Clinton administration, and the fines went away. And of course, Bill used to send Jesse with the trash bags to get the cash down on Wall Street. Hey, I see you don't have too many black boys are working here. You know, tomorrow I could have 1,200 people outside your door. What do you want to do? We'll fill the bag, Jess. You don't think that didn't happen, right? We're all living in make-believe. May bring back the draft and de-wuss the country. And he knows the sacrifice that American families make. On the downside, he appeared only on left-wing networks to promote his book, which is a big mistake because Rupert Murdoch, it can move a lot of product. Just look at all the books that all of the people on Fox get out. And I've been advised by his enemies that he is socialist-leaning. I'm not worried. He is for this country first, and he has the papers to prove it. And he's a gung-ho guy. So having said that, we will do a tune, and let's see what we can do. Oh, that's a pretty nice one. I played that a couple of times already, though. Oh, I got an Arab tune, but we're not playing that tonight. We're going to play Americano. Did I ever tell you that I teach Americans how to speak English with a foreign accent so that they can blend in their own country? You want to see a sample of my work? I love this country. Everything's free. I have 9 social security numbers. I buy women at a Sleepy's for $4.99.
He wanna be Americano, Americano, Americano. He wants to drive a Cadillac. Ooh, he's chasing showgirls, smoking camels, whiskey and soda. Now he's never going back. He's cruising streets for gold, dressed in designer clothes. Brother, if you're too slow, you'd better not drink all your wine up in the drink. Wanna be Americano, Americano, Americano. For the stars, grab that golden ring. Just remember, he's Americano. Well, watch it, pal, 'cause he'll take everything. He wanna be Americano, Americano, Americano. He wants to drive a Cadillac. Ooh, now he's chasing showgirls, smoking camels, whiskey and soda. Now he's never going back. He likes that rock and roll. He's playing baseball. Loves Marilyn Monroe. A Coca-Cola Joe and a pizza Patagio. Wanna be Americano, Americano, Americano. Gotta buy a diamond ring, 'cause that's his baby's favorite thing. Okay, alright, yeah, man. Wanna be American, wanna be American, wanna be American. Hey!
On President's Day, a senior airman named Brian Colfage, he's a U.S. hero. He's a triple amputee veteran of the war in Iraq who has surpassed all odds. Let me just say something. He's a triple amputee. We've been in this war 11 years in Iraq, and not once have I ever seen anybody come up with an IED identifier. I never seen anybody come up with something in sonar. I never seen anybody come up with anything in laser, and where we could have identified and detonated these bombs before they went off. And what are they? They're in cars, and they're in the ground in less than probably 3 feet of dirt, and we couldn't identify these things. We are a failure as a nation. We do not gear up like the Greatest Generation did. Greatest Generation, they hit the beaches in Normandy, and they found out when they got to the hedgerows that they were getting torn up by the Germans, because they had to go over the hedgerows, and they were targets as they went over the top of the hedgerows. So you know what they did? They went back to the beach, and they took out those jacks that were in the water, you know, those X's, the girders that are all crisscrossed to take out the Higgins boats, and they welded them to the front of the tanks, and they just burrowed right through the hedgerows. And that's until they did that they had a problem. You know how long it took them to do that? One day. And here, 11 years later, we still don't have an IED pre-detonator. Okay? And you know what? You see the burned faces of some of these guys? Race car drivers have socks for their heads so that they don't get burned up. And these guys didn't even have a $2 sock that they go to war. Maybe it was hot, so what? You sweat. You rinse it out after. But if you get a burn, at least your face is covered, and goggles could protect your eyes. But you know what? We don't do the obvious. We do the ridiculous. So this gentleman is a patriot, the kind of man you'd want your son to grow up to be. And here's his letter to Obama on President's Day. I nearly died in a war that you and most of your colleagues supported overwhelmingly, including the two presidents who came before you. Many citizens may not agree with waging war in Iraq to free the oppressed Iraqi citizens, but it's something that warriors like myself have zero control over. I joined to serve my country and to better my life. I've seen things that you could never imagine, I just saw an execution in Syria of beheadings of about 12 guys. And my God, you would never want to see these videos. It is unbelievable what animals can do to helpless human beings. And they have made me the person I am today. Mr. Obama, even though we share extreme opposite views, we have one thing in common. We both attended school in Hawaii. However, that's where the similarities end. You see, as you attended your exclusive private school, I would ride my bike to a Kaimuki High School in one of the roughest areas in Hawaii every morning and would ride past Panahu, the exclusive private school you attended. I would notice the Bentleys, Maseratis, and fancy foreign cars that all the kids were dropped off in. Wow, it must have been extremely rough in Hawaii living that life, right? I could only imagine what it was like to have that kind of money. Fortunately for you, not many people are aware of the school and the upper-class citizens who attended it. The tuition to attend your exclusive private school was more than it cost me to obtain a bachelor's degree in architecture from the University of Arizona. You talk a big game when it comes to financial inequality, yet I'm quite sure you have no idea what it's truly like to have sacrifice. You were one of the elitist children in Hawaii. I know he came in to work with $4 million. I guarantee you he's going out with a lot more. After high school, we each chose a very different paths. You were able to attend Ivy League schools, and I sought out a military career in hopes of earning a degree. What we have in life as children usually sets the tone for what we will face later in life that will make us successful. I worked hard to get where I am today, and you were handed it, Mr. Inequality. I volunteered to go to Iraq on both of my deployments, and the second time I begged to go even after I wasn't selected, which ultimately got me placed on the team where I would lose both legs and my dominant arm. I've never asked myself, was losing three limbs in a war worth it, even though many Americans were against it. I love the anti-war people. They're not anti-war. Not at all. They're anti-win people. They hate to see this country win anything. I am frequently reminded of the many young Iraqi children who would beg me for water, food, and toys while I was stationed in Iraq. Children who in all aspects made the poorest of the poor American children look rich. You have no idea what it really means to be poor. It's laughable that you, who would have no idea what it means to be poor, would so frequently play the inequality card. While I was in Iraq, our mission was to liberate the Iraqi citizens from a tyrant, and that was what we did. Never forget, it was your people who sent us there, like the Clintons, John Kerry, Nancy Pelosi, and Carl Levin. However, since the day you busted onto the scene, you've been talking about ending the war and pulling the troops out, not understanding the blood, sweat, and tears that so many Americans and Iraqis invested, and with complete disregard for every life sacrificed, every limb lost, and every broken family. You bailed on your mission to pursue an agenda that was completely centered on your re-election in 2012. If you didn't bail on Iraq, you were worried that you may not get reelected, and that's a fact. Just before the elections on October 11, 2012, you said, Al-Qaeda is on the run and Osama bin Laden is dead. Look at Iraq now. They are in shambles, and the Al-Qaeda flag is flying freely, clearly. Flying freely. Clearly, you're unfit for duty as a commander-in-chief. Abandoning troops in the field is a violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It's punishable by a firing squad. He left four guys to die, at least four guys to die in Benghazi, and he shouldn't have to face a trial for that. Back to the guy who wrote the letter. You put your own agenda ahead of America's agenda, and now you have a single-handedly ruined and destroyed nearly everything we gained in Iraq. It clearly means nothing to you because the only thing that you've personally invested in that country was a promise to bail on them. However, people like me gave limbs, friends have died, and we've watched families destroyed by war's aftermath. I hate it when I hear a politician talk about blood and treasure in the same breath. The treasure he doesn't have, he takes it from the American people and wastes it. And the blood he doesn't spill, that is an American mother's national treasure. I'm not placing blame on you for the war. I'm placing blame on you for destroying what we've worked so hard to build. You're not a leader. You're a community organizer. A leader would have stood up regardless of the situation and put America's agenda first, and that is ensuring a secure Iraq even after 10 years of war. But you placed Barack first, just as Robert Gates confirmed in his new book. I can't help but think of those poor kids who I gave water and toys to 11 years ago. They're probably 15 or 16 years old now, and I can only imagine what it's like for them to have their nation being torn apart yet again. All because of your poor leadership qualities. Regardless of why we went to Iraq, it's water under the bridge. We went there, we waged war, and we not only owed it to our KIAs, but we owed it to the citizens of Iraq. We invaded their country and turned it upside down, and you bailed on them. You bailed on our soldiers, and you've wasted every death and every limb. It's all for nothing, and to make matters worse, you blame others for your failure. You're just another elitist rich thug who pretended to live the rough life growing up in the inner city. You're only worried about your own agenda and furthering your party instead of taking care of Americans. Your inability to be a leader at some of the most critical points has caused both of our wars to fail. You've been a joke to most of our veteran community, and we have no faith in your ability to lead. Senior Airman, retired Brian Colfage, and God bless you and your family, Brian. God bless you and your family. We'll have to find a tune now to honor you and your courage, more so today than ever before, because you stood up to communism. So let me get you a tune. I got to get you a good tune. You know what? I'm going to give you Flanders Fields. Let me see if I got it here. Sorry I'm taking so long. I'll give you a poem. Men of 98. This is a poem about the Irishmen who rose up in 1798 to get rid of oppression.
Who fears to speak of 98? Who blushes at the name? When cowards mock the patriot's fate, who hangs his head for shame? He is all a knave and half a slave who slights his country thus. But a true man, like you, man, you can fill your glass with us. We drink the memory of the brave, the faithful and the few. Some lie far off beyond the wave, some sleep in Ireland too. All are gone, but still lives on the fame of those who died, all true men, like you men, remember them with pride. Some on the shores of distant lands their weary hearts have laid, and by the stranger's heedless hands their lonely graves were made. But though their clay be far away, beyond Atlantic foam, it's true men, like you men, their spirits are still at home. The dust of some is Irish earth, among their own they rest, and the same land that gave them birth has caught them to her breast. And we will pray that from their clay full many a race may start, of true men, like you men, to act as brave a part. They rose in dark and evil days to right their native land. They kindled here a living blaze that nothing shall withstand. Alas, that might can vanquish right. They fell and passed away. But true men, like you men, are plenty here today. Then here's their memory, may it be for us a guiding light, to cheer our strife for liberty and teach us to unite. Through good and ill, be Ireland still, though sad is theirs your fate, and true men are like you men, like those of 98.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that grieve partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Ah, 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 ah. Our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. Ring.
Just before, maybe days before, we threw Saddam out of Kuwait. He was running in, he was taking out of Kuwait whole streets of families and murdering them in the desert. And he would replace those families with Iraqi families. So if you went looking, and that's why the Kuwaitis were taking down the street signs. If you remember, they took down their street signs in case they had a warrant, you know, a list of go to this such and such a street, I'll sell them street and pick up everybody that's on this block. You know, they couldn't find Al Salem Street. But, and I honestly believed at that time that he intended to replace the 2 million Kuwaitis with 2 million Iraqis. And then when somebody came looking for Mr. Fulan, some Iraqi would come to the door and say, "I am Mr. Fulan. Can I help you?" But fortunately for the Kuwaitis, Saddam got thrown out. And on the way out, he got a real beating. And the Republican Guard was about to be annihilated. And Colin Powell talked George Bush out of finishing them off on the highway of death. And he said it was a turkey shoot. So they let them escape. And then when little George went to Iraq, he had to fight that Republican Guard, that same Republican Guard that Colin Powell let escape. So that's like the movie in Saving Private Ryan, where they let the German go, and it came back to haunt them. Remember? Yeah. War has got to be final. When you're on the battlefield, you don't arrest anybody. You fight them to the death, and that's it. Because if you arrest them and bring them back, Eric Holder will pardon them. And you will have risked your life for nothing. So in the battles that were taking place in the Middle East, from time to time, American GIs were arrested by the politically correct communists, and they were made to stand trial for fighting to save their lives. And they didn't fight by the rules of the Marquis of Queensberry. And what happened to them is military officers who had no combat experience played Perry Mason and sentenced these guys to hard time sentences. One guy who comes to mind is Lieutenant Behenna. And Lieutenant Behenna got 15 years in jail for killing a guy that went for his gun. And George Bush never wrote one pardon. Clinton wrote a lot of pardons. He did 197 pardons, but that was all for money. Had nothing to do with, you could be a drug dealer, you could get a pardon. You could be a drug dealer with $450,000 and get a pardon. And I just found out the other day that the Vignali drug family that got caught giving Hillary $450,000, of course Hillary was untouchable because we were invading her space. Yeah. It was her brother Billy that was the bag man. I used to do a little poem, Black Sheep, have you any cash? Yes, sir, yes, sir. Three bags. Clinton trash. Yeah, one for my master and one for my dame and one for the other Clinton whose name is the same. Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, anyway, this Lieutenant Behenna got 15 years in jail. He got they let him off after 5 years. But there's guys rotting away today in Fort Leavenworth that need a retrial. They need a retrial. They need a review. They need a commutation of sentence. And they need to get a fair shake. Because you know how this government works. They always have to make examples of somebody. You know, if you're a Catholic or you're a veteran, if you believe in the cross, and God help you if your name in Spanish means the cross, like Ted Cruz, they're coming after him, hammer and tong. It is unbelievable. That's why we need a general for president. I'm sure President McChrystal would have commutated a few sentences. Yep. And all the sad part about it is you're a GI. What are you, a private or a corporal? How much money are you making? to get in to the service, it's 18 grand. They'll pay you 18 grand to go die in Iraq or Afghanistan or the World Trade Center. Because the war is here now, friends. And you're going to put your life on the line, and then they're going to charge you with workplace violence. Yeah. And what do you get? You get a very long sentence. Now, you're being punished, and you took an oath to defend the country, and that's your punishment now, because you really lived up to your oath. But they're not only punishing you. They're punishing your wife, who now gets no benefits. They're punishing your children, who now get no benefits and will be denied the care of a mother, because mother has to go out and work now to feed the family because there's no income coming in. Okay? Nobody took into consideration the suffering of the family. They just wanted to make an example out of one American who salutes the flag. They wanted to crush him. They want to crush freedom. They want to crush religion. Don't you see that the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party? You can't believe it. Liberal is communist. Progressive is communist. Democrat is communist. And who are their two biggest enemies? Their two biggest enemies are children and Christians. They'll get the other denominations later. We're in trouble. And if we don't stand up to them now, they will walk all over us. You see what they did up in Connecticut? 100,000 guys refused to fill out the forms to register their weapons, and they burned them. They burned the forms. You don't think that's the Boston Tea Party all over again? They're going to make an example of those guys. You know, the first guys to stand up. You know the saying on the beach? A lieutenant has, 30 seconds to live on a beach? The private has 6? No, I think the lieutenants get clipped first. That's right. That's why they never wore their insignias on the beach. I don't blame them. You know, do you ever hear the expression, a three on a match? You ever hear it? Three on a match is bad luck? Because the sniper following the match being passed around usually kills the third guy. So, having said that, we got to get our country back. And we got to get everybody under one banner. And the communists for 50 years have been working on dividing the country. They have, everybody's a splinter group today. Little minorities are running around trying to control the majority. There's about 3 guys working on taking down the whole country from a spiritual aspect. 2 were named Weinstein and a lady named Sarah. Oh, and you might as well throw Bill Maher in the pile too, because he wants to duel with God. He's calling God out. Yeah, you know what's going to happen to Bill Maher? He's going to be walking down the street one day, and God is going to strike him like he struck down Saul. And he's going to say, "Poophead, why are you persecuting me?" And then Poophead is going to end up in a Catholic hospital with a big cross over the bed and a smiling nun looking down and patting the sweat off his brow and hooking up his IV to a tropical fish tank, and he'll die of guppy poisoning. Meanwhile, we'll touch base with the Duke of Dubuque. 48 seconds left. You know what they did to the Tsar?
Don't believe me and tell me it ain't true. I've only got one answer. That answer's because of you. I'm descended from the Romanovs in Russia. In the books my father was Tsarin's Russia. But he sailed away one day to the state of Iowa. And that's how you find me in the USA. I'm the crackers, I'm the cheese. Yeah, call them wolfhounds if you please. Yes, I'm the Duke, I'm the Duke of the View. Yeah. No pork chops, no gravy for me. Some lake boots and black eyed peas. Yes, I'm the Duke, I'm the Duke of the View. I'm a dude,
I'm a dude.